Now, Dave Kaufman hosts The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman, but also Jay Farrar. The Kaufman Show, only on TSN 690.
Just in the nick of time there. Welcome back to your favorite radio show. It's The Kaufman Show right here on TSN 690 Montreal. I'm Dave Kaufman with my co-host Jay Farrar, the Farrar side.
At the Farrar side.
Welcome to the Farrar side of Twitter. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I like the new moniker.
You like that, huh?
Yeah, I think it suits you perfectly.
It does. It does. My opinions seem to be on the far side sometimes, so why not incorporate my family name into it, Dave?
And this way you won't be sued by Gary Larson, so you're perfect. You're set.
Who?
What?
I don't know who that is.
The far side.
Yes, I know.
The comic. Come on, Jay.
I know what it is.
We're not going to pretend that he doesn't exist the way that we pretend that Letterman or Jon Stewart doesn't exist.
Because
they're on in our time slot. These names that I'm just making up out of nowhere.
Okay.
Yeah, different medium. I mean,
you're confusing me, Dave.
If you like radio, what do you need TV for? Who needs moving pictures? We'll describe things to you.
Moving pictures.
The moving picture machine.
The moving pictures.
You had a good week, Jay?
I did. I had a very nice week.
Good.
Very busy.
We'll get into all of that.
We're going to get into my week?
We're going to get into your
week. We sure you want to do that?
Great detail.
Okay.
I look forward to it.
A couple of people might not be happy about that.
Well, normally, we have a chance to talk before the show.
Yes.
And then I ask you how your week was, and then it's nobody's business because you tell me before outside.
Yes. I answer with good.
Tonight you showed up at 10:59 and 30 seconds.
So, yeah, I know. There was traffic.
So we'll have to get through. Yeah, right. So we'll have to get through your week on air for the listeners of The Kaufman Show. But first, our first guest is on the line.
Already.
That's right. We like to do things.
Is it the man?
It's the man.
All right.
You excited?
I'm just going to sit here, listen, and learn.
One of our favorite guests. One of Jay's favorite guests, my favorite guest on The Kaufman Show. He is the editor of The Nation, the sports section of The Nation, America's oldest magazine. You can read him everywhere, ESPN, Deadspin, New York Times, Follow him on Twitter at Edge of Sports from Washington, D.C., Mr. Dave Zirin. Hello, sir.
Hey, it is great to be here. Thanks so much for having me on the show. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Jay. And congratulations on the success of people who are really starting to notice the Kaufman Show.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. I guess you're referring to Avi Goldberg's article, which was quite lengthy. I'm impressed that you got through it. I think Avi did a fantastic, really comprehensive job. Sat down with both Jay and myself for a really long time. And,
a long time.
Well, and bravo honestly, to Avi. I'm just on chapter 4 of the article.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah,
it is Dostoevsky's War and Peace. After all,
chapters have been brilliant, and I'm curious to see what happens next.
Well, the ending's a cliffhanger.
I mean, seriously.
It's a cliffhanger.
Like a Russian novel, this thing. I love it.
In the middle of it, they just get into the aspects of sailing and marine. I don't know what it is. And then suddenly the whale comes back at the end.
I didn't know why Mr. Goldberg chose to spend 5 pages just writing wheat, fields of wheat, as far as the eye can see.
I think that was, you know, experience from his time in the shtetls back in the day in Ukraine.
That'll fabulous.
Yeah. Dave, one of the things that we did talk about in the article is the support of social issues in sports and how we do enjoy talking about that. And, of course, that's one thing that we have in common and that, frankly, you do on such a large scale and do such a great job with. And yesterday was a huge day in North American sports.
Oh, it was an absolutely huge day. I mean, it was the first time in one of the big four sports. And yes, I did have to be convinced to refer to this as one of the big four sports because it's I'm talking about soccer, of course.
Right.
And, of course, you got your big three of baseball, basketball, football, hockey, soccer. So big five, excuse me.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was wondering if you were kicking hockey out to put soccer in.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm considering it. You know, of course, the Rangers and Caps are out of the playoffs. I wander the streets aimlessly. But it is one of those things where it was a huge deal to have Robbie Rogers take the field for the LA Galaxy. It was something that had just never happened. The idea of an out, openly acknowledged gay athlete taking the field and the world did not end to me was a beautiful thing.
It's overdue, obviously. And it's interesting that we always have to go back to the, well, it wasn't in the, it feels like it needs to be somebody on a, you know, two outs, bottom of the ninth, calls time, comes out of the closet, hits the game-winning home run, and then it seems like it's legitimate. And I don't understand that part of it.
Well, honestly, the whole reason for that is that people who, actually, there are very real political forces in North America who don't want to see openly gay athletes. They want the locker room to remain the last closet as it's traditionally been. And so if you source it, those are the folks who keep moving the goalposts. So Jason Collins comes out and it's, well, but it's not Kobe Bryant. Therefore, it doesn't matter. Even though Kobe Bryant's one of the first people out there on Twitter providing solidarity and support for Jason Collins.
That's right.
Like, so, which in a lot of ways makes it more significant that it wasn't some superstar. Or someone like Robbie Rogers. What's so incredibly significant about Robbie Rogers? I mean, this is what, as I wrote about this, is that it took the most arguably depressing story of the last 6 months and turned it into something that was actually inspiring. I mean, what could be more depressing? I mean, than the idea of a 25-year-old saying, "I'm gay and I quit because I'm retiring at 25, the ripe old age." Because I don't feel like that this is an arena where I'd be accepted. And then to have just a few months later, he sees the reaction of Jason Collins. He meets hundreds of LGBT kids. And he feels, as he, in his own words, like a coward. And then he comes back. I mean, that is a great story.
And like you said,
yeah,
it started
Rogers
off.
Robbie Rogers isn't Pele, but it's it is an amazing story.
And it's like you said, it started off as such a bad story. And frankly, that story didn't kick around very long because it didn't fit in with the narrative of everything. And it was it was a negative story in a what has really been a sea of positivity for this movement.
No, that's very true. And even thinking of it as a movement is something that Robbie Rogers said. And one of the things that makes him excited is that he now feels like he is a part of that. And I thought that was actually a very interesting choice of words on his part, because it used to be it was groundbreaking to come out after you retire, like John Amici, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those cases, though, where we've moved so far forward in such a short amount of time that you're not actually part of the movement if you do the whole, well, I'm gay and I'm quitting. That actually takes you away from what's been this forward-looking process. And so it's like, while one could certainly understand why he felt like he was in the position he was in, you know, homophobia is still very real in sports, obviously. It's like to have him then come back and once again to have the world not end is a huge deal.
Dave, why are women so much further ahead than men on this?
Well, one reason is that women's sports, and this is something that Brittany Griner just pulled the curtain back on, has had the policing of sexuality be its center point for as long as there's been women's sports. So even if homophobia built into men's sports and women's sports at the very start of organized athletics in the 19th century, but in men's sports, it operates in a very different way. It operates in a don't ask, don't tell. You must be some kind of a sissy, as Theodore Roosevelt said, if you don't want to play football. So it's built much more as a situation where it is a closet. In women's sports, it was, well, wait a minute, sports is supposed to teach people how to run the world. So, and it's just for men only, for white men only. So what does it say about you that you want to play sports? You're therefore looked at as something suspect from the very beginning. And it also is true that you must be a lesbian if you want to play. It's also true that for over a century, if you are a young working class woman, for example, and you want to meet other women, if you think you might be gay, if you want to meet other women, you're not going to college. So how's it possibly going to happen? So sports did become like a safe space for women for over a century as well. And I really do think that that's the reason why women have always been ahead of men on this particular issue. Although as ahead as they are, we're hardly talking about an Olivia Cruz line when you're talking about LGBT women in sports. There, you could still count the number of women who've come out on one hand.
Right, and you can also point to last week where it came out that Brittany Griner's coach told her to keep quiet.
Great example of it, and that's the thing too. It's like you can't really say men have had it worse or gay men have had it worse than women because it's operated in a very different way. I mean, the story of Glenn Burke is instructive here because in the late 70s, Glenn Burke, he's playing for the L.A. Dodgers. He's gay. He actually does make efforts. His teammates know he's gay. He does make efforts to talk to people he trusts in the media about it, which would then technically make him the first out gay person in a professional sport. And the response he gets from reporters he thought he could trust was more like, I touching that one, buddy. You know, get away from me. Like, I don't even have a vocabulary to understand what you're talking about. And you compare that to this crazy statistic that 55% of all young women who play on an NCAA basketball team said that sexuality was a topic of conversation with them and their parents, that their coaches came into their living room and talked about.
Wow.
55% had the coach say to them some variants of, like, you don't want to go to that school, that's where all the lesbians go. And that's what Brittany Griner was pulling the curtain back on. And think about it, she wasn't just pulling the curtain back on her coach. She was actually pulling the curtain back on that this is a point of of Baylor's policy to actually don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah, it's backwards thinking. And it was the policy of the U.S. Army for almost 20 years.
Exactly. And it's an amazing thing that it's a big deal at this point. I mean, Renee Portland, the coach of Penn State for 27 years, Hall of Fame women's coach, she would say openly, loudly, publicly, you know, I've got three rules on my team, no drinking, no drugs, no lesbians. And this was just something she would say. And so in a lot of ways, it's a sign of the times, even that Baylor even has to play defense now that Brittany Griner's made these accusations.
It's an unbelievable story. We'll continue to follow it, and we hope for more positive news like Robbie Rogers. We're in conversation with Dave Zirin from The Nation right now. You can follow him on Twitter at Edge of Sports, and I highly recommend that you do. Dave, there's something I wanted to bring up with you today. It's Memorial Day in the States, and every team in Major League Baseball wore a camouflage uniform today. I don't know how that makes you feel, but I felt very awkward watching baseball today.
Well, it's awkward for a ton of reasons. I mean, first of all, let's just talking to you and your audience. I mean, baseball is a North American sport, and not just the United States sport, and the dictates, the military dictates of the United States have not always walked in step with the military objectives and dictates and culture of Canada. I mean, this is something very specific about the United States and about baseball.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at it more from a North American perspective, though, than just a Canadian one. I mean, I get that, yeah, it's weird to be supporting the U.S. Army from Canada, but I think that even if you're an Arizona Diamondbacks fan or a San Francisco Giants fan and you see the team wearing a camouflage uniform, it might make you feel like there's a bit of a line that's been crossed. I mean, this is a country that's at war, and the ultra-hyper-militarization of sports doesn't make me feel comfortable.
Yeah, but how else are you going to sell more jerseys? Unless you have cool cam ones, right?
You can sell jerseys without doing that. Lord knows they have enough jerseys.
Sell more alternate jerseys, sell more than the regular jerseys
do. It's the idea of making an athlete comparable to a soldier. And that blurs a line, and it's a Pat Tillman-type line that really scares me, because one guy makes $20 million a year, and one guy makes $15,000 a year.
And dodges bullets.
Right.
Yeah, and dodges bullets.
It's as long as there's been baseball, there's been this effort to do this. I mean, and the irony is that one of the reasons why 27.7% of players in Major League Baseball come from the Caribbean and Latin America is because that's where the USA went in and conquered in the 19th century and did it, as one writer said, with a rifle on one shoulder and a baseball bat on the other.
Sure. Japan, too, right?
Not Japan, another example of that, absolutely. But it is something like, to then, if you think about it, like if you really like put your head on it, and I know it could make you get a migraine if you think about it too much, but the idea of asking somebody whose grandparents may have been forcibly conquered by the United States Army to then wear a camouflage uniform in the United States, like if you know anything about the history of the United States and the Dominican Republic, for example, or Venezuela, even more recently. I mean, it is a stunning thing to ask of people on today of all days, but it's also been an explicit part of baseball and baseball's foreign policy going back to the 19th century. We go back and read like what Albert Spalding, as in Spalding Sporting Goods, who's one of the early Major League Baseball owners, said. He said, baseball has always followed the flag. And wherever the flag goes down, you know baseball is close behind, like really trying to bind the sport in the American mind, like with not just the U.S. military, but the actual adventures of the U.S. military around the world. So that this is far more consistent with baseball history than everybody wearing 42 in April in celebration of Jackie Robinson, that's for sure.
As many bad things can be said about Spalding, you ever seen those photographs from the Baseball World Tour he took? I think it was in like just before World War One, you see them at like the Sphinx and stuff like that.
Just hanging out on the Sphinx.
Oh, yeah.
No protection of the Sphinx whatsoever. Typical white men all hanging on the Sphinx and destroying the property of the ancient Egyptians.
Well, to be fair, Napoleon had already shot the nose off like 100 years
That's
earlier.
That's what,
right?
I'm saying. Just continuing the trend, weren't they?
Dave Zirin, thank
Albert
you so
Spalding
much.
Albert Spalding was practically writing his name in the snow, if you catch my yeah.
Dave, thanks so much for your time tonight and for the kind words off the top. We really appreciate it.
Oh, no worries, fellas. Be strong. Do your thing. And hope to talk to you guys soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dave. There he goes. Dave Zirin, Edge of Sports. Follow him on Twitter. He's a lot of fun on Twitter.
Yeah, he is. He's a great follow.
Salacious.
Just sit there and learn and then retweet or favorite.
I like the idea of learning. It's fun to learn.
It helps.
Yeah.
It helps things. It helps you get a radio show.
His new book is called Game Over, available where all fine books are sold. And we'll teach you a little bit more about that other side of sports that sometimes we get afraid to talk about.
That's right.
This is The Kaufman Show. Here's Buck 65.
The sea. I am the light on the water, and you are moving underneath. I am the rail, you are the sea. I don't know what I'm even looking at, don't know if it's even happening.
Higher than the moon, deeper than the seas, holder of the truth, keeper of the keys, enemy remorse.
You're listening to The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar, only on TSN 690.
I got it.
The blues, man. I got three shows tonight, honey. We can have some fun till 5 o'clock. And the blues ain't gonna stop.
You know, we don't usually listen to the commercials while we're on break because nobody wants to hear my voice talking about McLean's Pub over and over and over again. But I've noticed, Dave, that we now have our own little spots.
Spots?
Yeah, or what do you call them? Bumpers.
That too.
Bumpers. Yeah. Like you're listening to The Kaufman Show on
right.
TSN with Jay Farrar.
And Dave Kaufman.
Yeah, whatever. I think we've made it, Dave. Don't you feel legitimate now?
Is this the definition?
This is it. Once you get your own bumper, that's it.
A couple of bumpers and an
yes.
article and wham, bam, thank you, man.
That's
you made it.
An article about us. We got bumpers now. We got a guy with a cool trailer voice saying your name.
Play it, Jimmy.
You're listening to The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar.
That's me
on TSN 690. Yeah.
I just think it's really cool that they got Keith Richards to play that. Little guitar bit for us.
Was that Keith Richards?
With the open tuning? Absolutely.
Bam, bam, bam. Yeah, okay. Whatever it was cool. And I just feel so...
Legitimate?
Legitimate. I feel so real.
Jay, this is what happens when you cross over to the Farrar side.
This is the Farrar side. Join the Farrar side.
Follow the Farrar side on Twitter. So, first of all, our thanks to Dave Zirin for, as always, an enlightening conversation.
Yes.
The man brings it. He owes us a couple of dirty jokes, though, doesn't he?
He does. He does. Been a little too serious for
a
the last couple
A little bit negligent on that.
We need him to insult people and refer to human centipede things.
So I was Googling today.
Okay.
You know, as the young kids do.
Is that what the kids are doing?
There was something that got caught in my brain, and I couldn't get rid of it, so I had to Google some photographs.
Okay.
Remember the big base brawl between Canada and Mexico?
Yes.
If you ever want to smile, just Google Canada baseball brawl on Google.
Yes.
You get a whole ton of photographs that remind you of a really special day in Canadian history.
International competition where...
Where Canada turned a baseball game into a hockey game.
Yes.
And it was lovely. And
diplomacy.
It was fun. And what I find interesting about this is that Dusty Baker, manager, famous manager...
Yes.
Remember him from the Chicago Cubs?
Yes.
Killing the careers of Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor?
Yes.
Remember him from the San Francisco Giants?
Yes.
Where his son almost died?
Yes.
When JT Snow almost crashed into him at home plate during the 2002 World Series?
Yes.
Well, Dusty Baker is now the manager of the Cincinnati Reds. A very good baseball team. And in fact, they have a player on their baseball team that when you hear the words Etobicoke, Ontario, you should think of this person and not the person that you normally think of. Two, three, four. No, nothing. Joey Votto is from Etobicoke.
Oh,
and
well,
he might be the best hitter in baseball.
You said, but you were saying not the person I would normally think of. I was going to say Joey Votto.
I think
I'm like, who else is from Etobicoke on the team?
Well, not on the team, but in the news right now.
That's what I thought.
There's
okay.
a certain mayor.
Yes.
That is from Etobicoke and has made that town.
Etobicoke, Ontario, yes.
Well, except that the Coke is silent. It's Etobicoke.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
The K is silent, yes.
It wasn't for him.
It's allegedly.
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 Okay.
I
don't want to get sued tonight, Jay.
No, no, we won't.
No, no, everything is allegedly.
We have our own bumpers now.
That's right, we're legitimate. Come on. We have to say allegedly now.
Yeah.
Last week we could have said whatever
people
we wanted.
People think twice before they file a lawsuit against us. We got our own bumpers.
Dusty Baker thinks that players should fight to settle issues. Let it be like hockey. Let them fight. Someone hits the ground and it's over with. I'm serious about that.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah?
Yep.
And what happens to... Didn't Bill Lee's career end because of a fight? Or wasn't it
He severely, participated.
Wasn't it severely...
He was a willing participant in the fight. So, I mean, if you're going to fight, that's a risk you take. You know you're going to get hurt or somebody else is going to get hurt. That's what a fight is.
There are going to be pitchers who have been explicitly told that they're not allowed to fight, and you're going to have scenes of players running around the field.
That's fine. There are other guys that'll break it up.
Benny the guy Hill that, music playing on it, the PA.
Well, there's a lot of room out there. So sometimes, you know, I've always been a believer in that. You know, some of the my best friends that I have now, I met because I got into a fist fight.
Wait, is
with
this the some of my best friends are fighters conversation, Jay?
No,
really?
No, no, no.
Are you going to sink to that level?
No.
Some of my best friends.
Some of my best friends are fighters. I've had fighters in my house.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Over to dinner?
My sister married a fighter.
My hairdresser's a fighter. My landscape architect is a fighter.
Sometimes, you know, we're under this impression that we as human beings are civilized. We are in no way civilized.
On occasion.
We have the same DNA we had 100,000 years ago that the Cro-Magnon man had. Okay? It has not changed in the least bit. So, if you get on a stage where... You know, it's semi-controlled. We're not wielding clubs and axes at each other or shooting each other. Well, then, let the guys have it out bare-fisted. Let them do what they got to do, get it over with, and go have a beer afterwards.
The go have a beer part doesn't seem necessary when they're already...
But I bet you they will.
They're already union brothers, man. You think, really?
Exactly.
There's a big brawl on a Saturday night hockey game. You think the Habs and the Leafs go for beers together? Give me a break.
Give me
a break. And you know it. You work in a pub. The two teams don't walk in together.
So long as the game...
That's the start of a joke.
Yes.
Habs and the Leafs walk into a bar.
Yeah. I know. Listen, it's not always going to be that way. Obviously.
What happened? 60 years of cup futility. Hey-o!
Yeah, they're not even on the same plane or limo when they leave. So it's not, you know...
Big-ass limo, Jim.
Yeah, there's no comparison, really. But, I mean, I feel the same way. So long as the sport is made the way it is, like in hockey, there's going to be fights.
No, but why regulate it? It happens in baseball. Players get suspended.
I'm not saying that it should be a rule that, you know, well, now you just got plunked. Why are you not charging the mound? I mean, go out there and charge the mound.
That's it.
But I believe that you should charge the mound if you get plunked, if the situation is right, which it happens all the time.
Each of the aggressors moves to the on-deck circle and slowly takes a step towards each other.
Yeah. They face off, they ring a bell, and everybody goes to town. Crap gets real. You know, we can't, you know, you can't
You're
do
not
that
allowed
way.
To use the fungo bat. That would be like the below the belt equivalent, right?
Right. Right. I mean, the pitcher has a ball. He's throwing the ball at an incredible amount of speed. He's trained. He plunks you in the butt because he's down 7-2 in the game or because he didn't like how one of your guys celebrated after he hit a home run. Well, you got to go after the guy.
All I'm picturing is Steven Strasburg running. And running and running and running. Yeah,
well,
and
he got to do a fight with a wall. So
what do you mean,
Strasburg?
No, he didn't.
Oh, no, not Strasburg. The other guy. What's his name?
Rory Calhoun.
No, on the Nationals.
They got into a fight with a wall.
Yeah, he went headfirst into the wall. Right fielder. What?
Bryce.
Bryce.
Harper.
Yeah, Bryce.
Sorry,
Harper.
I thought you were talking about a pitcher.
Geez, I'm in hockey mode.
And then
right
I pictured
now.
A player running into the wall. I got, was it Joe Flacco that ran into the wall?
yeah.
I think it was, there was an NFL quarterback that celebrated the touchdown and ran into a wall.
Gus Frerotte, 1997.
There you go. There you
thank
go.
You, thank you.
You Jimmy guys are going to wuss out. This is going to happen. But so be it. There'll be other guys there to break it up. And eventually, chaos ensues, but then peace is restored. Why? Because they got it out of their system. Why? Because they're animals.
Canada baseball.
That's
brawl.
Right.
Canada baseball brawl.
Good for you, Dusty Baker.
Good bunch of boys. I'll tell you what I think.
Watch for your kid.
You're
listening to The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar, only on TSN 690.
It's also one of ours, written by Gord Sinclair here. It's called Reformed Baptist Blues.
June 22nd at the Lachine Canal, you will not hear that song by the Tragically Hip.
No?
No. Definitely not. Yeah, the days of hearing the Hip in concert with a saxophonist ended back in the 80s when Doug Ford was allegedly the hash king of Etobicoke.
And anything with the saxophone ended in the 80s, I think.
That's not true.
Yeah.
Springsteen, man.
Yeah, but
that thing's all about that.
He had a pretty good sax player.
He did.
Yeah.
And
there's
does
a difference.
And he does once again.
Yeah.
The big man's nephew is now the saxophone player in the E Street Band. Okay. His name is Jake Clemens. He's probably about 30 years old. He's a fantastic musician. And
he's no Clarence, though.
Well, how can you be, right?
No.
You know, Clarence was the king. And,
yeah.
And legitimized Springsteen so much.
Yeah.
Much like those bumpers legitimized the Kaufman Show.
But you used to hear the saxophone, you know, all the time, you know, in Sade songs and things like that. And, you know, it just wasn't the same. And then that kind of went out of style in the 90s.
I'm trying to think of an iconic 90s song with saxophone. Maybe something Dave Matthews-y. Not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
But I think there's a saxophone in there.
Hee-haw, in between that.
Nicely done. Kind of sounds like a horse. Now, I wanted
like a
to
dying donkey.
I wanted to address
like.
Something, Jay.
Uh-oh.
I think this is really important, and it's time.
There should be fighting in baseball.
That, too.
Okay.
That too.
Oh, no, we already
there
did
that.
There
is fighting in baseball.
Okay.
I don't think it should be regulated. I don't think they should get into the ring.
No.
There is fighting in baseball.
Okay,
but,
go ahead, Dave.
It's time that I get this off my chest for you all.
There has been a serious accusation from the Toronto Star that I use crack cocaine. I do not use crack cocaine, nor am I an addict of crack cocaine.
Well, there you have it. Just wanted to let you all know.
Okay.
Feel free to pick apart whatever ambiguities you want in that.
Well, I've never seen you do crack cocaine.
That helps.
So
that helps.
It helps.
And that video is, that alleged video, I can't comment on
that alleged
video.
Nor have I ever
video.
Seen you hanging out with Somali drug dealers.
Alleged.
Somali drug
don't
dealers.
Don't be racist.
Why? Because I called a Somali guy a drug dealer?
I'm just repeating what you said.
Okay.
Don't turn into one of those media maggots.
There are no Somali pirates.
There
either.
Are a bunch of maggots in the media. You need to be careful.
Well, there are.
You're like, he's right on that
he's
one.
He's right on about some things, but...
How do you feel from the journalism side about this? I know I just read a whole big article about how you're an entertainer, not a journalist.
Did
but,
you?
But yeah. I know that you have that nose for journalism or you wouldn't be sitting in that chair.
Okay. Thank you.
So how do you feel about reporting on a video that nobody has seen and the potential legal consequences therein?
Wow. Well, there is a picture, apparently a still.
Well, no.
Well, there's a picture. Oh, no. It's just
that picture is of the mayor with
to constituents, according to the mayor's office, and that he'll take pictures with anybody who asks him.
Okay, flipping the finger, apparently.
One of them is now deceased.
Yes.
And
what a surprise.
Was an alleged, I believe was an alleged drug dealer. My God, this word alleged, eh?
Yeah.
It allows you to say anything you want.
Well, I mean,
Jay Farrar allegedly drove here on a tricycle tonight.
The time I arrived, that's closer to the truth than you know. With all the traffic and such.
So the Toronto Star reacts very quickly to the... And now, obviously, Gawker is an American company. They have different rules and regulations when reporting, much like, say, we do in Canada when reporting on the Oscar Pistorius case in South Africa. Mm-hmm. We're not bound by South African law. Gawker's not bound by Canadian law, nor do they give two dams about it. Toronto Star reacts to this Gawker story and puts up something very quickly. They say they had been working on it for a couple of weeks, but they wanted to get in on that exclusive banner. And again,
well, this is
how does one feel about? And I know we got Torben Rolfson coming up in a minute, so we'll shift this over and we'll come back to it. Mm. And I'd like to get your calls. I'd like to hear from you guys about this. We can even fill up the phone lines if we want. 514-790-1690, 1-866-896-2546. And if you want, let's put a sports spin on it.
Okay.
Let's pretend that this was a professional athlete.
Yes.
And not the mayor of a city.
Yes.
But there was no video to speak of.
What? No.
What video?
Well, I mean, we saw it all throughout the last 10 to 15 years with steroid scandals. There was never any evidence at some points, but still, you'd see, at that point, there was no evidence against Lance Armstrong, but he was making the headlines. Mark McGwire was making the headlines, even though there was no solid evidence
against him. Armstrong was biting back. That's, to me, that's the big difference. It's that
mayor's not biting back?
Not really.
We just played a clip of him biting back.
No, that's not biting back. Biting back would be suing.
Okay.
If you publish something in your newspaper that damages people's perceptions of me, that is not true, and that you can't prove to be true, that's the magic recipe for a lawsuit.
Well, who knows if something's in the works? I mean, it's only been a week, right? So, who knows? And, you know, you're coming from an angle where you assume that all media, a high-profile media like the Toronto Star is coming from an equal place, from a place where they can do no wrong. Really, in the end, it's all up to you and me to decide whether these allegations are true or not. Do they come to light? Yes. But it's up to you to make the decision, because there is no media outlet in this entire country, in this entire world, that doesn't have some sort of agenda.
Absolutely. And the agenda with the Star has obviously been anti-Ford from the start.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that just, because the whole story the whole time was, oh man, it would have been nice if the Globe and Mail had this story, because then the Fords couldn't have said, this is all the Toronto Star going after us once again. Not the case.
No.
Until Saturday, when the Globe and Mail comes out with their piece that made the Avi's piece look short on Doug Ford being allegedly the 1980s hash king of the RY Drifters, the Royal York Drifters on Royal York Road in Etobicoke.
Yeah. Well, sometimes
I feel the need to uber Canadianize that. Royal York Road in Etobicoke.
Yeah, that's where you can get the good stuff.
Well, 30 years ago. So, and now he's denied it, okay? Let's leave food for thought. We're going to go to Torben Rolfson, and then we'll come back and we'll go back to
being serious.
I'm sure
he's got a few good ones. Yeah.
I'm sure he does.
Okay.
But perhaps it's too much of a low-hanging fruit for Torben.
Okay.
I think it may be too low-hanging for the van guy. But he did that. He allegedly did that 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. How does that affect how he runs his world today?
It's dirt, and people like dirt. It's all up to you. In the end, it's all up to the reader, the listener, the viewer. It's all up to you to make the decision on whether you're going to embrace this kind of stuff, or you're going to look at it from an angle where, you know, a little bit of an unbiased angle and say, well, let's see what happens.
Barack Obama admitted in his autobiography to snorting cocaine at university.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because he outed himself on it?
And I bet you a lot of people don't know that. Yeah. Yeah, it is because he outed himself on it.
He cut off the scandal by announcing it.
That's it. Put out the fire before there ever is one.
Sage words for a politician. Let's go to the van guy right now. Torben Rolfson has become a weekly contributor to the Kaufman Show. And I feel like we've done one of those, would the person with a black Prius please come to the front door? Seems that a puppy has been run over by it. And now let's go to the comedic stylings of Torben Rolfsson. Torben,
hey,
welcome back to the
how
show.
Are you doing?
We're great. How are you, man?
I'm good, thanks. Based on what I heard while I was waiting to come on, I'm looking forward to listening to the show later tonight.
Oh, good stuff. We just caught up on, we started to catch up on the Rob Ford shenanigans. But more than just the ridiculousness of the story, and every day there seems to be another layer, the journalism side of it, and whether journalists are acting in the most with the highest of integrity or not.
Yeah.
And that's a debate that I think we'll continue to have.
Definitely.
In the meantime, make us laugh.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, okay. Make us chuckle.
The Blackhawks are on the comeback trail. Do you see that?
Yes. Yes, there's going to be a Game 7.
Yeah, we're set up for back-to-back nights of Game 7s the next two nights. And, you know, I was watching the last week or so, and Jonathan Toews spent the second period in the penalty box Thursday. There hasn't been a captain get that long a timeout since Mutiny on the Bounty.
Oh, jeez.
One more penalty away from having his mail forwarded.
The ship is filthy, sir.
There you go. And with Sergio Garcia operating the LA Kings Twitter account Tuesday night?
Nice.
What was that all about? It was nice. Hard to keep up with that.
Yeah, you know what? That ruined my chances of ever guest running a Twitter account, right? That was a late-night talk show host.
Hockey Canada bans body checking at the Pee-wee level. Hopefully this extends to parents in the stands.
Yeah.
Nice.
NBA, the Memphis Grizzlies' Tony Allen was fined $5,000 for flopping under the NBA's stronger new postseason rule. The best part is it happened on an arm tug foul by Manu Ginobili. That is like Yoda and Luke master apprentice level irony there.
Star Wars fan, Jimmy? Yeah, all right.
Indiana Pacers broadcaster Mark Boyle, I'm sure you saw this, blasted Miami fans for leaving American Airlines Arena down 3 near the end of the game Friday night, saying, quote, they don't deserve any team. I don't know. If you go by that reasoning, you could make a case they deserve the Panthers, Marlins, Dolphins, and Hurricanes.
Well put.
Wow. Nice.
The college football team, not the meteorological phenomena.
Of course.
I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
No, or the Carolina hockey team. God forbid.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Nice try, John Calipari. He tried to sneak Kentucky into the NBA draft lottery. Soccer, great Champions League final. Really enjoyed that. Next match, Bayern versus New York Red Bulls FC Dallas winner for the world title.
What? You lost me at soccer.
Very good. The 49ers, Michael Crabtree, might be out for the season after getting injured at an OTA. Apparently, OTA stands for, torn Achilles.
Oh, jeez.
Remember that GIF, or JIF, as we're supposed to pronounce it now, of Rob Ford dropping back with a football and stumbling and falling backwards?
How could I forget?
That suddenly makes more sense. It's all coming together.
Oh, I can see clearly now.
And finally, the Blue Jays' Brett Lowry, he was ejected over two pitches Friday. Sounds like Dane Cook's last visit to a studio lot.
Wow.
Nice. Had to end on a bang, Torben. Where are you going to be this week?
I'm going to be cat-sitting starting tomorrow.
Oh, exciting.
If anyone wants to come and watch me do that. And then Thursday at the Railway Club, one of my favorite bands, the Modelos, Vancouver's rock and roll cowboy surfers, will be playing.
Nice. Nice. I love the Railway Club. Saw friends play there during the Olympics, actually.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, it's my favorite spot.
Really cool little bar. Reminds me of an old bar in Montreal that I used to work at called Club Zone.
Nice.
Great little music spot. Torben, thanks so much for your time, and we'll catch you next week.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Have a great night.
You too. That was Torben Rolfsson. You can follow him on Twitter at VanGuy. Torben's a very funny man. He'll be cat-sitting tomorrow. Be sure to check it out.
Wow.
They're in the Vancouver area. Dude. I wonder if it's is it like contingent on rain? If it rains, then he'll be cat-sitting?
I don't know.
I mean, it's Vancouver, so it's going
to
rain.
No
right?
one has ever asked me to watch their animal.
Well, they know,
and there's a good reason
they
for
know
that.
What would happen.
If I had a goldfish, it'd be dead in half an hour. So I, you know,
Jay,
it's just not good.
They only live an hour and a half.
Oh,
that's
do
not,
they?
That's not so bad.
Imagine that, and I would decrease its life by 2/3. Think about that for a second.
514-790-1690. If you're in Montreal, 790-1690. If you're out of town, we are owned by Bell. This might as well be on Bell's dime and not yours. 1-866-896-2546. This is The Kaufman Show. You can reach me on Twitter at The Kaufman Show. Jay is at The Farrar Side, F-A-R-R-A-R. Let's go to Travis in Asheville, North Carolina. Hello, Travis.
Hello, Dave and Jay.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm not a Rob Ford. I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
He's pretty good, too. Well, he was until a week ago.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
He was allegedly good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can't get sued for that.
No.
No, you can't.
All right. So what's going on, Travis?
Well, you know, I just, you know, it seems like I don't have to tell anybody that you don't exactly make any money by being a responsible journalist.
Hmm.
Nobody cares about...
You don't say.
I don't mean to be a downer, but nobody cares about responsibly sourced legitimate journalism.
I do.
Yeah. But,
I do, and I don't know if... I mean, the Globe Mail was working 18 months on the Doug Ford story.
Yeah.
And... they ended up with 10 anonymous sources peppered throughout the story, all claiming that he was a hash kingpin. Now, they go to the police and they say that they can't find one cop that remembers it. That seems a little bit weird to me.
Yeah,
and well, again, I'm not defending these guys. I don't think that they've done anything but sully the name of Toronto. And in fact, in a weird kind of way, endear the rest of the country towards Toronto. Because yeah. It showed that Toronto isn't always Toronto the good or Toronto the perfect. Toronto has warts just like the rest of us.
Yeah, and anonymous sources is an entirely. That's you can do an entire show about that, but
about anonymous sources.
Yeah,
there's a time and a place for them.
Yes, but the way that they're used in the modern idiom is not often. It wouldn't have been accepted in the past. It seems a bit more loose.
Well, you have to ask why would. An organization hold off a year and a half on a story. And I would think that one of the big reasons was because they were trying desperately to get somebody to go on the record to give the story legitimacy.
Yeah, and you get just enough of an edge, and you can avoid the political pressure. You deal with too many people who are legitimately afraid of backlash, and obviously things can get silenced. That's how all political scandals happen.
It's incredible, Travis, isn't it, how much Twitter has changed the journalism landscape.
Yeah, the problem is that so many people are taking what they think is evidence based on hearsay. And you know, one of the most famous anonymous sources of all time is Deep Throat. But yeah. Deep Throat had something going for him. He had solid evidence. He had paperwork. He had tapes. He had police reports. The difference nowadays is, well, I have an anonymous source that said this. With no solid backing whatsoever behind it, except that you have 8 or 9 of them.
Well, look, if this video had come out, I mean, the Gawker Indiegogo campaign reached its goal today. Mm-hmm. It reached it's 11:55 at night right now for those listening live, and the timeline was that it was going to expire in 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. 11:59 was the deadline for it to reach $200,000. It reached it, I think, around 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody to give the money to.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many people I know gave to that, or how many people even thought about giving to it.
I know I didn't.
You didn't think about giving to it?
Not always.
I sure refreshed that page a lot.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to see, of course.
But no, I didn't give a penny to it either. And I'll tell you, the only time where I was half tempted to donate something to it was when Gawker announced that they hadn't been able to reach out to the alleged Somali drug dealers.
Oh, really? And, they were not available?
They were not available this time.
Oh, okay.
And they, Gawker
I
said
have it on good authority that usually drug dealers are really hard to get in touch with.
Well, my question was, did you try paging him?
They still don't respond.
But Gawker did announce that if they did reach the goal and couldn't get in touch, that they were going to give the $200,000 to a nonprofit, some sort of a drug abuse counseling service, Canadian drug abuse counseling service.
That makes it a little bit better.
I think so. I think that if, at the end of the day, if, you know, some sort of
facility to help people with drug addictions gets $200,000 out of this, then that's
you know
pretty win-win.
You know what's so funny about this whole thing?
What?
Not funny reason.
Is not
how,
funny, haha.
What a backwards society we are. Try and raise that amount of money in that short of a time.
Oh, yeah.
For the same issue, but under a different pretense. Do it.
Forget it.
No.
You wouldn't have 10,000 right now.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
That's how sick we are as a society.
But we also just saw Zach Braff do a Kickstarter campaign to make a movie. Mm-hmm. A multi-million dollar actor who solicited funds from the public to get a movie made.
Right.
You can put anything up there, and for some reason, if it's on a shiny computer screen, somebody will donate a buck.
No, it's got to have shiny subject matter, or if the end result is that somebody's lynched, especially some kind of political figure or somebody who's high profile, well, yeah, you know, the mob wants to see it. Mob is always out there for a lynching. And if I can I'm donating to charity at the same time. But at the same time.
Well, it's not at the same time. It's one or the other.
Yeah,
right.
Well,
it's either
true.
It goes to the alleged crack dealer,
right,
or it goes to some sort of a heroin safe injection site or something,
right,
along,
yeah,
those lines.
Yeah, exactly.
The only reason that I even slightly hoped that the money would be raised and it would be given in this really lurid fashion, if you think about it, to the Somali drug dealer, supposed drug dealer, is because, well, I do agree that there is that, you know, ever-present undercurrent in all of North America and probably all of humanity to want to string somebody up, particularly if they're famous and you can make fun of them. But at the same time,
is it really about that, Travis, though? Is it really just about making fun of somebody who's famous? I mean, it's not like this is...
It's not
Cory Booker, the mayor,
right,
of Newark, New Jersey.
No, it's
who's
about bringing
beloved.
A guy... It's about bringing somebody down. That's what it is. It's the old Roman feeding the Christians to the lions, the old gladiator mentality of society. I told you, our DNA has not evolved.
It's the rubbernecking, right? It's the stopping to look at the car crash on the side of the road.
Which we all want to do.
But,
and the closer it is to home, the more exciting it is.
But there is a story in there.
Mm-hmm.
There is a story in there that if reported properly and given the time, and again, this is where we run into a problem, because there isn't that time anymore. But if this was given proper time, it could be done in a way that there wouldn't be any questions and there wouldn't be that opening up for a lawsuit. But instead, it needs to be done yesterday because it's all about clicks now. It's not about the game has changed.
Yeah. Ted Turner, 81, CNN. And ever since, time doesn't matter anymore. It's the 24-hour news cycle.
Yeah. And you have to constantly fill it.
And, you know,
what's weird is that if you find yourself watching that 24-hour news cycle, it's so damn repetitive.
Well, there's not much going
it's
on,
15
right?
minutes.
Let's not report on anything
over.
Boring.
No. God forbid.
Why
sure
would
there
we
is.
Do that?
Sure, there is. There's tons of boring stuff.
Oh, I know. Important boring stuff, but it just doesn't stimulate the ape mind that's watching it. That's the problem.
And that's why, until about 6 years ago, all the major cable news stations in the states would carry car chases in California live without tape delay.
Right.
I got killed on live TV.
Right.
That's why tape delaying it.
Right.
And there are some all news networks that are boring. Watch BBC. It's boring.
Yeah, but you know what? That's
in
the
boring,
eye.
It's boring, you know why? Because of reporting the news.
I disagree, though. That's in the eye of the beholder. I find it fascinating.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But I'm talking from the perspective of the ape who's watching it right now.
Fair enough.
Unevolved, you know, seeker of garbage to put in your brain and stimulate you because your life sucks.
Yeah, but you know what, Jay? BBC is just as guilty of rushing to judgment as anybody else.
They are.
They are. I mean, they're not.
Listen, these outlets are as good as their viewers. That's all they are. They're as good as their demographic.
Well, and as the people who call them on their faults.
That's right.
And it's, you know, I'm by no means trying to sit on a high horse. It's been fascinating to watch this unfold over the last 12 days and see where it's gone and where you kind of want it to go versus where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the truly unfortunate part of the story is?
What?
Is that I think that oftentimes powerful political elements in Canada and the U.S. are protected from their own hypocrisy. And, you know, right or wrong to expose them, whether or not that's legitimate or the manner in which it's done is legitimate, how often are stories suppressed because that's how you keep leads, that's how you keep relationships, you don't report dirty stuff, until it becomes such an incredible mountain that you have to.
Happens to all of us.
Exactly.
happens to all of us, Travis.
Yeah.
You have to protect your sources at certain points. You have to decide what, you know, to use the parlance of Bill Daley from this last winter, you have to decide what hill you want to die on. And there are some battles that aren't worth fighting. So you put them in your back pocket and you wait for the next day.
I think society's too accepting of hypocrisy, though, in general.
I think you're right. So what the hell are we going to do about it?
Hope for the best.
I was going to go change the channel.
Could and do that.
Keep it locked on TSN 690, by all means.
Exactly, for the Kaufman Show.
Travis, thanks, man.
Cheers.
Appreciate it. Have a good night.
You as well.
Yes, Jay?
Yeah, nothing. I just...
Oh, nothing. Okay, well, then good.
No, I got nothing. Nah, it's just, you know, it's... It, you know, when the Boston bombing was happening, I was on Twitter. I was watching the news at the same time. And all I saw on Twitter is, or especially, not when it's the Boston bombing, but more like, let's say, Hurricane Sandy.
Okay.
Which is a bit of a, you don't see people dying in front of you. So it's a bit of a lighter watch. You know, not as serious. It's not a terrorist attack, even though more people died in that than they did in the Boston bombing.
Sure.
And all I see on Twitter is people.
Yeah, but wait, so many weren't Americans, so does it really count?
Well, all I see is people bitching and complaining about the network presentation. But it doesn't matter to the networks. It doesn't matter for a second because the vast majority.
But Hurricane Sandy, like, and let's go back to CNN. Hopefully Strombo's not listening. CNN got in trouble.
They just legitimized their network a little bit.
They sure did.
I'll tell you that.
They got in. Hopefully it'll be more than just Friday nights soon.
Yeah.
They got in a lot of trouble on CNN for the. And you know what? They did the same. They pulled the same stunt during Katrina. Where you try and stand, have the reporter stand in the water
so
and make it seem like it's deep. And then some dude just walks by. And,
yeah, no problem. They're waving. They just got out of the bar, which is like two blocks away.
Well, obviously, the bar is open.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Hey, in times of crisis, man.
Yeah, listen.
I spent the ice storm in a bar.
I don't blame anybody for drinking. I don't blame anybody for drinking when crap gets real.
Brutopia during the ice storm by candlelight.
Perfect.
It was wonderful.
Perfect.
It was a little chilly, but it was wonderful.
Anyway, so long as the vast majority of people are stimulated by, you know, accusations, scandal, bad things happening to popular people, it's all in the money. It's all in the advertising. It's a business. It's a business. It's going to be a business. It's nothing else but a business. You need to pay for your airtime. And how do you do it? Lowest common denominator. That's how it's going to work. Don't report the real news. That's boring.
On Twitter, from one of my favorites, Dan K. MTL, donated $25 just because Ford's smugness angered me and I wanted to see him go down.
And that proves my point. That proves my point because people love to hate before they're informed. You form the lynch mob before you know. You know, and I hate to use the analogy, but that's what it is.
And we're going
to—that's what it is.
We're going to bring in a caller right now, Jay.
Yeah.
Who once repeated back to me a line that I used to say on the show all the time: "You have to be taught to hate." And he always agrees with you. It's Ron in Montreal North.
Ron.
Yeah, I usually agree with Jay.
Well, he's a sensible man. Yeah. He doesn't have rose-colored glasses like the host of the show.
I do agree with you. It's just that your idealism. I don't have that anymore.
Oh, well, I'm lucky I still have it.
Because no one wants to really know the truth. No one really wants to know the real truth. They want to know, you know.
The convenient truth.
An acceptable version of the truth. For example, there was that, you know, remember when the students were rioting? And, I don't know, some student had done some Nazi salute.
Yeah, that was an anarchist group that was in with the students that were protesting.
I tried to have a discussion with Ted Bird.
Uh huh.
To try to say, well, it's not, you know, like, don't always equate the Holocaust with the Germans.
Well, yes, obviously.
You see, that's what everybody does. Because nobody wants to know what we did.
Well, Ron, let's...
Nobody wants to know what happened here in Quebec. Nobody wants to know what happened in the United States.
You mean with natives?
No.
No, there were Nazi groups here as well.
Of course there were.
Yeah.
There still are.
Yeah.
With what we did.
Yeah.
you had that article on Jerry Park, right? I'm sorry, on Delormia Downs.
Yeah, a couple of months ago, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And remember when you did you get as far as the part where they had the gatherings for the families, the Christian families?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay, well, they were fascist gatherings.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
They weren't like what they said. Unfortunately, maybe he could get the information or whatever.
Yeah, but hasn't there been racism?
Pro-fascist gathering.
Pro-fascism and doing something about it are two very different things, though.
Pro-fascist, anti-Jewish.
Yeah, yeah,
gatherings,
yeah,
were
and,
going on.
And there is a long, long history in North
and
America of anti-Semitism.
Our prime minister, for example,
mm-hmm.
William Lyon Mackenzie King.
Yes. Who used to say a seance with his dead mother, right?
No, was well that that's
he was that's, he was a known anti-Semite.
Yeah. That's the thing. He was an avowed anti-Semite.
Okay, so
and his minister, okay, bought all the land up around Ottawa.
Uh huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
To make sure that no Jews could come and buy that line.
Yeah, and there used to be signs called No Blacks, No Dogs, No Jews on restaurants, and there's a reason that there are Jewish golf clubs and Jewish country clubs.
You couldn't teach at McGill.
What's your point, Ron? What's your point?
Well, I tried to explain that, but it goes further.
Yeah, but
that.
Do you really think you're going to call into the morning show and have a conversation like this?
No, this was on Twitter.
Okay.
This was on Twitter.
All right.
Like, for example, people don't really know how much the West admired Hitler at the beginning.
Sure. Sure. Well, look how long the U.S. stayed out of the war.
They don't want to admit that. They don't want to admit, like, for example, that Edward VIII, okay?
How did this come up just now?
Well, because we're talking about truth. We're talking about journalism. We're talking about whatever.
I understand the context.
There are certain things that people don't want to know. Like, you know, like, okay, we'll take it to hockey, all right?
Sure.
Even what Don Cherry was talking about. And he's right.
Which part?
Okay, about body checking.
What,
that if you only started at 13, okay?
Yeah.
14, you're going to have problems.
Yeah, but why should some 9-year-old kid who's never going to make it to junior, let alone the NHL, have a concussion? That's preposterous.
No. You see, the thing is this, is that The study that was there was those two counter studies that were run, okay?
Uh-huh.
One in Quebec where we have no body checking, okay?
Yeah.
And one in the West,
Saskatchewan, I think it is.
Okay, where they have body checking.
Okay.
Okay, and the amount of concussions were the same.
Hmm.
Okay. So there's something wrong.
Well, there has to be a reason that they did this.
There's a disconnect here. Because see,
how this is the same as, I mean, again, Ron, I think you have to have your head up your ass to not know that North America is anti-Semitic. But compared to Germany 60, 70 years ago, it was a little less anti-Semitic.
We'd have to say that Germany did take it to a whole new level.
Right. Yeah. They took it to they stepped up their game a little bit.
But it wasn't just Germany. It was France. It was Hungary.
Oh, yeah.
It was Austria. They all had their German parties.
Yeah, okay. I mean, okay, but like
the point is, it's not even that people don't want to know. It's that some things are more interesting than other things.
That in Hungary and Hungary and all these other people, how many Jews they killed there?
Ron, I understand what you're saying. I'm begging you in some way. I know I opened the door by talking about Rob Ford. Bring this back to Rob Ford in some way that I can see the connection so that I just don't think you wanted to call up and talk about how North America is anti-Semitic.
Yeah. If I may speak on Ron's behalf, I think he's saying that their people just tend to ignore some facts which they either don't want to hear or are not interesting enough for them to hear. And he's using the anti-Semitism in other countries other than Germany as an example that, you know, some things just are left unsaid or are not as popular as to the public to hear.
Okay, well, it was an interesting conversation, but I still don't exactly see the parallel.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
But you're listening to TSN Radio, the sports network, and this is the Kaufman Show.
You're right, though. The Germans really went a little too far there. I mean,
but I mean, there was
They really dug that thing into the ground.
But that was.
I know, to quote
Lenny Leonard, that's why pencils have erasers. Let's not go there every day and bring up what happened in the 1930s and 40s.
It's funny that people always...
Because then we're never going to get over it. We're never going to have a world where we can live side by side.
Not saying forget about it.
I am not saying forget about
it. No, no. What I'm saying is...
I mean, you have to talk about it. You have to remember it.
People
No, hold on, Jay. When, and this, I'm going to tie this back to that. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Justin Bieber going to the Anne Frank Museum.
Yes.
And writing something ridiculous in the guest book about how if Anne Frank was alive, he hopes that she would have been a believer.
Like it was a yearbook.
And they nailed him to a cross for it.
Yes.
That's maybe a wrong choice of words. But they hung him out to dry for it. They threw him under the bus for it.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily so. It led to a conversation about the Holocaust.
Well, he's a dumb kid. I mean, what do you want to do?
How our conversation about journalistic integrity, which I hope we can go back to with Mike from St. Leonard right now.
Yeah.
Went to that. I'm not quite sure.
People always, whenever they want to analyze something, they go to the extreme. And World War II is the extreme.
It is. It's the Godwin theory.
Yeah.
But, again, it wasn't meant as a comparison. I appreciate Ron's calls. Ron is always welcome to call into the Kaufman Show.
Yes, he is. Because he usually agrees with me.
That, sir, was a curveball. Let's go to Mike from St. Leonard. And
how are you?
Mike's here to right the ship. What's going on, buddy?
Good, good. I was waiting for you to... play that little clip from The Simpsons, the grandfather.
I was thinking of it, but I don't want to. I don't want to minimize or at all make. You know, Ron said something that was on his chest. I don't know if it was necessarily related to what we were talking about tonight, but you know, I do occasionally play an Abe Simpson, Grandpa Simpson clip after Ron speaks.
When you do that, what it reminds me of a postmodernism class I took at Vanier.
Okay.
And just the contrast of someone actually talking in real life, and then you bring that clip in, I laugh every time.
Good.
I love it.
Good. Jay does too. I get a kick out of seeing Jay's face.
I don't know if everyone gets it. To me, it's a stroke of genius.
Thank you. It's great.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
First thing I got to say, that was a great article by Avi Goldberg on you guys. And, the only thing that bothered me about it, the 3% of me that's Republican, that you guys are not being remunerated for this, bothers me on so many levels. I can't even begin to tell you.
Hmm.
There's nothing I can do about it, I don't think. But, you know,
would you like to sponsor the Kaufman Show?
Yeah.
Brought to you by Mike and St. Leonard.
Yeah,
Mike
exactly.
and St. Leonard calling into the Kaufman Show since 2012.
Yeah, let me go take a mortgage out, you know. Sponsor the show, you know.
Yeah, we ain't cheap, Mike. So
That's right.
You know?
That's right. We have high standards. And you know what? We look at this for what it is. And it's been a wonderful opportunity for us to grow a voice.
Yes.
And figure out what we want to do. From the bottom of my heart, I have nothing but appreciation for what was referred to in Avi's article as the corner offices.
That's true.
Because they've done everything to help us foster and have a very long leash. We talk about things that
that
are dear to our heart. And we could be very easily have somebody whispering in our ear saying, tomorrow, talk about the Alouettes.
Yeah, I totally...
And we don't have that, and I'm fortunate for that.
Dave, I totally understand that, but I also think that there's not enough, a little bit of reward and risk, whether it be radio or TV, and then when it does happen, people are shocked to see that it actually works out. It's because people have decided for us what they think we want to hear or listen to, musically or artistically or on the radio on TV, and this is where I don't think you guys get a fair shake.
Mike, this week, Arrested Development re-aired, starting again on Netflix.
Exactly.
It was a cult hit in the early 2000s.
But
it took that mobilization and the realization that there is a market out there for it. It just might not be in a traditional medium. Too many people watch Two and a Half Men and CSI Miami, and unfortunately shows like Community or Arrested Development suffer at the hands of that.
They only watch it because it's force-fed us. It's not because of choice, and I think that's the mistake that everyone makes and assumes. Everyone assumes that, oh, they've chosen that. We haven't chosen it. It's what's on all the time in our face, whereas some of the stuff we really want to see, or that would provoke us is so hard to dig through and to find.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes effort. I mean, it really takes effort. I mean, you have to go and you have to search and you have to go online. And even by accident, you're going to come across something like Community, like you mentioned, or Vice now that follows the Bill Maher show.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That stuff is, you know.
What's it called?
Vice.
Vice.
It's the former Montreal magazine, Vice magazine. They
okay.
now have a news magazine show on HBO.
Oh.
I watched them. I watched a great episode
Brilliant.
Where they were in Greece talking with the Black Dawn Party.
Exactly.
It was fantastic.
That should be the 6 o'clock news. Really? That's what I want to see, 6 o'clock.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, people don't.
It's network television. It's a dime a dozen, Mike. What they do is they get a whole bunch of crappy writers to write a whole bunch of crap, and then they bring it up to the viewers to get to select the least crappy of all the crap.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm sorry,
I said
I lost
so
you.
Crap.
I lost
so
you there, Jay.
Well, I mean, it's like a factory.
Yeah,
that you just put out all this junk, this garbage.
Hold on, are we talking about
network television?
Or news
I'm
right
talking
now.
About network television.
Okay,
yeah, I'm going back to what he was talking about, like you know, the all these sitcoms.
Yeah,
you know, and you just the ones that the most people watch. That's the one you keep. It doesn't make it any good. That's why you have to search for good television, even
point,
fictional.
The
and
point
it's
is,
very rare that you find anything fictional.
The point is, Mike and Jay, is that the world is changing. It's no longer the four channels that it was 30 years
right.
ago. It's no longer just AM and FM on your dial.
This
there's
is a good
satellite.
Thing.
There,
this is
there,
a good thing.
There is, you know, there are a lot of positives. There are a lot of negatives in this world.
Hmm.
In the growing, the technology, the modernization. Is it good to have a channel that suits everybody's needs? Because then you might have to dig, like you said, Mike, but you'll find something that's you know, you're not going to be forced to watch The Big Bang Theory if you don't want to.
That's it. But, I mean, it takes the time and effort, and I think it's just an assumption made by those in positions of power, and sometimes it's for their own benefit as well, too, that they have their own agenda, like you mentioned before, to make things a certain way, and it works for them. But it's not because we've chosen it. It's what we're force-fed. And most people, I will admit, most people are sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Turn the TV on, and that's it. And they're not going to seek out a show like Vice, and if it doesn't come and get thrown in their face at 8 o'clock or 8:30 on
right.
a Thursday night, they're not going to go looking for
it. Well, people don't really have time.
That's
I mean,
it. Most people are too tired to think critically,
yeah.
right?
Exactly.
You have your job, which you're probably working too hard at anyway, because that's the style in North America. You come home at the end of the day. You have your family that you want to spend time with.
Yeah.
You have your friends that you want to keep up with. And chances are you don't have the chance to leaf through three newspapers and two different news magazine
exactly.
shows and decide to go, okay, well, maybe this guy isn't telling the whole truth and maybe this guy isn't telling
yeah,
the whole truth.
People don't say what's on the TV anymore or what should I be watching right now. They're basically saying, what's the TV going to show me today? That's what they're saying.
And there was a time and a place where it was, let's get home and see what Walter Cronkite has
yeah.
to say.
Yeah.
Those days are over.
Yeah, I mean, look, The Wire. This is a prime example. People didn't find out about The Wire till long after it had
right.
finished its run.
Yeah.
I mean, its DVD sales and rentals went through the roof.
Yeah.
And it may have been the greatest written show ever.
Yeah.
You know,
arguably.
Arguably the greatest written show. So, I mean,
season 5 is coming
out
soon.
You've got to look for it. Is there?
Yeah, it's going to be all about the city of Toronto.
Well, that a boy.
Getting back to Rob Ford and,
yeah.
and the whole situation.
Yeah, and again, I want to have the conversation about not about whether Rob Ford smokes crack, because
yeah.
that to me has been done to death. I want to have a conversation about the way that this has been presented to the public.
The first part and the first initial article that I had read, I'm not sure if it was directly from The Sun, but the article gave kind of an overview and a summary of what had happened in terms of the reporters meeting with the Somalis and having shown the footage from a phone.
Sorry, what publication?
I'm not sure what it was. I don't think it was The Sun.
Okay, but no, The Sun wasn't. The Sun hasn't been involved in this, really. It's been The Star. Yeah.
Sorry, The Star. I don't think it was The Star. Maybe it was The National Post. It was giving an overview of what had happened.
Okay.
Nothing detailed, but just saying how the process had gone from the reporters meeting these guys, seeing the footage on the phone,
right,
negotiating price or being told that they need the money up front before seeing the footage, the reporter saying no, and then having to see the footage and having to decipher whether it is the mayor. And I thought that was fair. It was an honest thing. The problem with that is it's almost being, like you said, the word allege basically says, well, I'm going to put you on trial until you can prove that you're not guilty. And that's kind of a reverse of our whole system of justice.
Well, alleged has always been the term. It's
innocent.
Richard Bain allegedly shot two people and allegedly tried to shoot the premier.
Yeah.
And the second that he's found guilty, you drop the alleged.
Well, that's it. But that's a lot different than me saying, oh, I saw Dave Kaufman on my cell phone doing this.
Right.
Yeah, there's no hearsay. There's no anonymous testimony. Yeah. There's hard evidence.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
You can see it. You plainly see.
Well, it's not anonymous. The three journalists, we know their names.
Yeah.
We know who the three journalists are that have seen the video.
Okay.
It's for me, it didn't have to come to this point. I mean, honestly, if you're not going to get your hands on anything that's substantial in terms of evidence, I'm not sure you can go ahead and report that, you know. And this is what it goes back to what you were mentioning before.
But it's not just reporting it. It's the way that it's been reported. So it's not alleged scandal with Rob Ford. It's Toronto crack scandal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And not in the same way that I feel weird watching a militarized version of a Major League Baseball game where both teams are wearing camouflage. But there's a certain part of me as a journalist that just wonders if this is going to come back and bite us all in the ass one day.
Well, not as long as you have large conglomerates and people with agendas.
Well, and that's what the Fords are saying. Their response yesterday to why they're not suing the Globe and Mail is that they can't go up against the $30 billion of the Thompson family.
Yeah, there's not only that. Since when did we start empowering journalists just because they're journalists, that their testimony is the truth? They're not police officers. I mean, it's bad enough we do that with police officers. Now we're doing it with journalists.
Well, because that's the job, right?
With no hard evidence.
If I do a phoner. If I do a live hit from a protest,
mm-hmm.
and you can, I'm giving you the play-by-play of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a journalist. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be there because I'm a credible journalist, and mm-hmm. you're supposed to take my word for it that this is happening.
But you're there, and it's happening at the same time.
So
it's not I saw this and I saw that, because everybody knows that witness testimony. I mean, I know you know when you watch a video and you know when you don't.
Jay, a source calls us right now and says that I have a video of someone doing something. And mm-hmm. we are allowed to go over there and watch that video, and we are free to report on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unless we've done something to destroy our credibility.
I wouldn't feel comfortable reporting on it unless I could take the video with me. I wouldn't feel comfortable
Why?
Doing it.
Why?
Because who am I?
And you realize I just...
I'm Jay. Who cares? Who cares what I say?
Okay, well, what if...
Except Mike. Mike cares.
What if Jay had 15 years experience writing for a
newspaper?
Doesn't
matter. I would not be comfortable saying that I saw this without me having the video in order to prove it. I wouldn't be able to say it. Unless I'm telling us, especially when it's a serious accusation like that. This is a serious, serious issue. I could tell you a story about something that happened. Usually the stories I tell are not even true anyway. So it doesn't matter. That's fine. That's for entertainment purposes. But when you're making this kind of an accusation, which can literally ruin many people's lives,
right.
I would not be comfortable saying, I saw this and I'm sure. I would have to bring it with me. I'd have to show you the hard evidence.
I don't know.
I am not important enough.
I don't know which
that.
One I have more issue with, the video part from the Star or the drug allegations from 30 years ago from the Globe. I don't know which one. And I think it might be. No, I'm serious, Mike, because I think the drug allegations one is all anonymous sources, whereas you have the editor of Gawker and two high profile reporters at the Toronto Star saying that this is what they saw. Two of those reporters are on the City Hall beat. They see this guy every day.
Yeah.
If I saw a video of Jay Farrar, I would know if it was Jay or not.
And how do we know Rob Ford didn't piss off one of these guys at one point?
Of course
we don't
he
know
did.
That.
Of which, course he did, but you have to trust.
Which renders their testimony moot.
No, you have to trust that these are journalists who will not, whose ethics will not be compromised.
Not
you
me. Journalists, wow. I mean, come on. We've seen it time and time again. Every day you hear about a journalist who says something stupid or lies
well,
about something.
Well, they're human.
Exactly.
But these
That's
were
my
three
point.
Different reporters who independently saw the video outside of each other, wrote mm-hmm. notes on the video, and all three came back with the same thing.
Still not good enough.
And their
me.
Names are attached to it. Whereas with the Globe and Mail story, it's 10 anonymous sources saying that he was the hash kingpin of Etobicoke.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's a lot more credibility associated with a video that I haven't seen and I can't see. But these three people will swear up and down that they've seen it. And all three of them stood separately and said it was this long. He says this. He does this. It's this.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think now, Dave, talking about the same train of thought with what's going on in the States with the Department of Justice and their situation with the Associated Press and going after their sources. How do you feel about that situation?
That terrifies me.
You know?
That terrifies me. And it wasn't just the AP. I know it happened to a Fox News reporter as well,
yeah.
Where his... And what the scariest part of all this...
This is why the Second Amendment still exists for them.
Let's give a little bit of background for the audience. It's that the government has subpoenaed Google and has been able to access emails through the Gmail accounts. Is that correct, Mike?
I think so, as well as phone records from their cell phone.
Right. So it's no longer... You no longer even have the ability to protect your source.
Patriot
Act? If they want your source, they will go and get it in the name of exactly freedom.
Yeah. Well, this is the question, is like, when does freedom...
It ain't free.
Yeah, but when does it become an incursion on...
Civil liberties.
CIA operative security or the workings out of military action?
Well, that happened. What was her name? Valerie Plame?
Yeah, that's right.
So that was 5 or 6 years ago. We saw that. Everything changed. We know the date. It's etched in all of our heads.
Yeah.
And everything changed that day.
I mean,
I think it's a surprise that... everything got even more intense in 2008. I think that's the biggest surprise to everybody that people are still shocked by, is that whatever rules were put in place in 01 have only become more intensified.
Listen, when you get to that seat of the emperor, it's always nicer to have all the guns behind you, eh?
To quote Mr. Mel Brooks, it's good to be the king.
Good to be king. What a movie.
Mike, thanks for the call, man.
Have a good evening, guys.
Speak to you soon. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Dave.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm great.
All right, good. Having fun?
I'm always having fun.
All right. We're gonna
stimulating discussion.
You know it.
Yeah.
You know it. And we have a very special guest on the line, but it is time for a sports update.
If you're going to San Francisco. That's not the update.
No. In fact, no. It's if you're going to Eugene with the San Francisco Dons. We'll be joined by Max Harris after John Kakalakis brings you a sports update. This is the Kaufman Show. Tweet at me, at The Kaufman Show. Tweet at Jay, at The Farrar Side.
Join The Farrar Side.
Tweet at John, at John K Sports. And call Jimmy at 514-790-1690, 1-866-896-2546, and tell him to get on Twitter. You're counting up your meaning, counting up your debt. She's a sweet black angel, whoa. Not a sweet black bitch.
You're listening to The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar. Follow them on Twitter at The Kaufman Show and at Jay Pub Radio. It's like the show, but shorter, and you don't have to hear them bickering.
That's right. You're listening to The Kaufman Show. This is TSN 690. I'm Dave. That's Jay. And we're about to bring in our next guest. You may remember him from Balls the Baseball Show on Team 990 in Montreal. He's a frequent contributor to The Kaufman Show, the play-by-play analyst for the University of San Francisco Dons. We're making quite a run. Welcome to the show, Max Harris.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Wow. So why so serious?
Why not? I mean, it's all business, baby.
Fair enough. How are you, Max?
I'm doing great. How are you, Dave?
I'm fantastic, man. I'm happy to hear your voice, and I know you've had quite a week.
Yes, the Dons were in Stockton, California, which is about 90 minutes east of San Francisco. They have an A-ball stadium there for the West Coast Conference Championship. They lost the final, but this morning they got in. If you've ever seen the NCAA basketball selection show, it's the exact same process for baseball. We sat in the gym and sweated it out until they announced our name.
Same kind of following as you see with the basketball? Like, was the gym full?
I mean, well, you don't have cameras stationed at every hangout or locale, but the same type of reaction. And it's funny, Dave, because the world we live in is so gray. And I thought about this as I was walking in. I mean, your show, I think, highlights this tonight. But sports is often so black and white. Like, if we get in and we did, it's jubilant. Had we not got in, it would have been just almost a funeral-like atmosphere. So sports is really the only thing we have in our lives that is just so black and white sometimes, and I found that fascinating.
That's interesting, and yet it kind of wasn't this morning. And how does this work? Like, if somebody doesn't understand how the NCAA tournament qualifies, like, what made them choose you guys after losing the game?
Well, we had just our body of work throughout the entire season, who we beat, where we beat them, who we played, and all that. Factored into the process. Basically, the 31 conference winners get in automatically, and then it's the next best 33 who are, quote-unquote, at-large bids. So, for example, Columbia in New York is not one of the top 64 teams, but they are the winners of the Ivy League, and as such, they get a spot regardless of the strength of their league.
Oh, this really is the same as college basketball?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay.
But it's not single elimination. It's a much more complicated set up, but for the Dons, we'll be heading to Eugene, home of the Ducks, our good friend Shaka Brody.
That's right.
That's right. Graduate of Oregon. In addition, we'll be playing Rice and South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits.
Can't say I've ever heard of them.
That's all right. They made March Madness, though.
Can't say I remember that.
That's all right.
How much media attention would a team like this get competing? I mean, you're going up against the San Francisco Giants for baseball news in that town.
No, it's fair. I mean, locally we've gotten some coverage, but not as much. We get about a couple hundred fans a game.
Okay.
One of the issues right now is that we don't have lights, so that limits our appeal. If you're playing Tuesday afternoon, Friday afternoon games, and you don't have a modern facility. You know, it's funny, I was in Stockton, which is an A-ball facility, and it's so different what even minor league baseball looks like now compared to going to games in Ottawa or Burlington.
Oh, please elaborate.
Just in terms of, I mean, you had David Gourlay from the Ottawa Project on a couple weeks ago. The amenities, the surroundings, I mean, even this little 5,000-seat A-ball stadium, there are inflatable games for kids in parks. There is a bar area overlooking first base where people can sit in a club-like atmosphere. There are four or five small luxury suites.
You say something about a bar?
But there's grassy hills in center field. It's everything that sort of is not necessarily baseball focused. It can't just be a baseball, even at the minor league level.
No, it's the family. It's that family experience, right?
Not just family. Family is one facet of it, but being able to create several different experiences that are beyond baseball. So that's the key. You see in the majors. You see when you go to a Giants game, and right now at the Dons, we're hoping for a new park in the next few years, but as it stands, it's an atmosphere that appeals to mostly fans of baseball and, frankly, baseball scouts. We get a lot of them in our games.
Oh, I'm sure. And the quality of, I mean, some of the guys that you see are major league potential players. I mean, obviously it's very early to tell, but the draft is coming up in, like, what, a month, right?
2 weeks' time.
Oh, goodness. Okay. A fortnight.
Yes, actually, we saw Theo Epstein in Stockton taking a look at a guy named Chris Bryant. If you don't know him, you might want to Google him. He plays for San Diego. Has the home run record for most home runs since they changed the bat rules to deaden their contact, and will probably be a top three pick in this year's draft. I'd be shocked if he doesn't hit 30 someday, Dave.
Yeah, but, I mean, Brad Wilkerson hit 30, right?
That's true. I like Brad Wilkerson. You know what? One of the shocking things, if you would have told 13-year-old Max that Jamie Carroll would have a substantially longer major league career than Brad Wilkerson, I would have laughed at you.
I think you could have made a lot of money off that bet back in 2001.
You could have said the same thing to 26-year-old Jay. So thanks for making me feel old, Max.
So when are you off to Eugene, Max?
We will be traveling on Wednesday as a team. Open up action on Friday. First game is against Rice. It's 5 Eastern to Pacific.
What's it like traveling with the team? Do you feel like there's a separation? Like, does it lead to you being more of a homer on your broadcasting?
You know, it's funny. I try not to be. I try to be balanced. There was a relatively controversial play the other day where the Dons skipper got ejected, and I thought the umpire made the right call, and I said so as much. So that being said, if the Dons are doing well, there's a little more enthusiasm in my voice. And if they're not, it's a little more monotone. But I think you try to find that balance. I mean, I am the voice of the Dons. I travel with the team. So, you know, you got to know where your bread is buttered. And I like the guys.
Any chance of them making it all the way to Rosenblatt Stadium for the College World Series, Max?
Well, it is baseball, Dave.
Anything can happen.
Yes, that's true. And in fact, they actually just built a new park in Omaha replacing Rosenblatt, but that is a good reference.
Thank you. I you know, if there's a baseball stadium with a Jewish last name, I know it.
Kaufman or Rosenblatt.
Kaufman.
Max the Guru, thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
And do keep in touch. We'll touch base again. Hopefully the Dons will advance and make it to the next round. And it's nice. I have a college baseball team to cheer for now.
That's right. Hopefully we'll make it to the Super Regionals.
Ooh, this sounds like Glee.
A little bit.
Best of luck, Max.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. We'll get in touch with Max a little further down on this.
They always got to cheer for the Dons. They make you an offer you can't refuse.
Right. That's right. I like to think of Don Draper.
Don Draper, huh?
Bunch of dapper Dons. This is the Kaufman Show. We'll be back in a few minutes to wrap it up. We'll take a couple more calls. 514-790-1690. 1-866-896-2546.
The national pastime went on trial. We're talking baseball. Klazuski, Campanella, talking baseball. The man and Bobby Feller, the scooter, the barber and the nuke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque, especially Willie, Mickey, and the Duke.
You're listening to The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar, only on TSN 690.
Day after day, alone on a hill. The man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. But nobody wants to know him. They can see that he's just a fool. And he never gives an answer. But the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round.
Jay, what fool on the hill do we want to dedicate that to? There's so many.
Oh, God.
Pick one this week. Huh?
Show's only 2 hours.
I know.
And we only got about 13 minutes left.
And we have to play the basket.
I don't have time.
You know what? Whatever fool is on the hill that you choose tonight, that song is for you. Let's go to Jerry and NDG on the Kaufman Show. 514-790-1690. As Jay would say, as Ted Teven would say, we're running out of racetrack. And as Jay would say, when it's the end of the night.
Ladies and gentlemen, last call for radio. Mesdames et messieurs, Danielle Silvis, last call.
That felt like the $64,000 pyramid, Jay.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I can, it's a thing, and you call, bzzz. Oh, no, I can't use that word. Damn it. Okay. Wait, is Jerry from NDG on the line?
Yes, he is.
Yes, I am.
Hark, the Herald Angels sing. Yes, what's going on, Jerry?
Well, today was Memorial Day, of course.
Yes, it was in the States, absolutely.
And, you know, when you played the song, I decided I had to call up because there was one very special event. We went to the American History Museum, and the great Bob Feller was there.
Oh, wow.
Was he a nice gentleman?
Huh.
He was signing autographs left and right. What a nice person he was.
Jerry, I'll tell you, our last caller, Max the Guru, tells a wonderful story about meeting Bob Feller at an All-Star game, I don't know, half a dozen years ago, maybe longer now, where Bob Feller told him, scolded him because his cap was on backwards.
Yeah, this was a long time. This was in the 80s we met him. And
when he was still throwing 80 miles an hour.
Yeah. Oh, he was classy. He looked so young then.
And of course, he lost a good part of his career fighting. Did he fight in both wars, or was it just Korea? I think it was both.
No, he fought in World War II.
Yeah, I thought he fought in both wars. And he was one of the youngest major leaguers when he came in.
That's right, and he lost some of the best years of his career.
Yes.
You know, Ted Williams, too.
That's right. Thanks
for
the call.
He spent six years in the war.
Joe DiMaggio went to, I mean,
Bob
and this
Feller,
is what bothers me, and I'm so happy that Jerry brought this up. because this ties into what I was saying about the militarization of sports and all these guys wearing camouflage. And it just seems so fake to me, because if it was 60 years ago, in the time that Ron was complaining that the world was so, that North America was just as anti-Semitic as Europe, you had these heroes, these stars of the day, living legends, if you will, going off to war. Going off to war.
Yeah. Some of them losing their lives.
So
I believe around 200 major leaguers went off to war, and about, I think about 50 of them must have died in World War II. Christy Mathewson, it killed
them. World War I, that's right, the tuberculosis from the gas.
Yeah.
That's funny, I was just about to bring that up.
Yeah, and you know what? If baseball wants to honor the military, fine. You know, go ahead and do it. But why do they do it so flashy?
It makes me feel
to sell more jerseys, Dave.
I know.
But to sell more jerseys. Look at the cool San Diego Padres camouflage jersey. I have to have that.
You know what?
It's $175.
It's funny that you mentioned the Padres, because that's one team that does wear a camouflage jersey outside of that.
All
San Diego's a big military town.
Right.
And I kind of understand it from that perspective. They want to honor the fans that pay tickets to go see the games.
Right.
There's this part of me, Jay, that gives me the creeps, that makes me think it's not about selling jerseys, but it's an advertisement for the U.S. Army, and it's so little kids will want to go and pick up a gun and fight.
Well, that's their choice. It's a volunteer army. It's their choice.
And just remember that the guys who are grinding it out day in, day out on the baseball diamond for millions of dollars made that choice to not go to war.
Mm-hmm.
And to fight the battles in the trenches of the dugouts. I'm sorry, Jay.
And
I can go on about this.
And a lot of them saw camouflage uniforms, but on the other side.
You know, and a deep throw in football is a bomb, and when you attack the quarterback, it's a blitz. And everything is about war analogies in sports.
But it is. It was Ty Cobb that said baseball is something like a war.
Yeah, well.
But it was an analogy.
Did he go fight?
Yes, he did.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
All right.
Yeah, he was in World War I.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. He saw action as well.
Let's end this show saying nice things about Ty Cobb.
Hey, it's been that kind of show.
Let's take one more call before we put it to bed. We've got the chef in Montebello. Good evening, chef.
Hey, boys.
How are you?
Just another Kaufman show.
Oh, yeah, just your average typical one, huh?
Yep. A little bit of talk about Nazis, political downfall in Canada. All great. I love it, boys.
What is it, Monday again? What's going on?
That's it. Great read this week for Abby Goldberg.
Yeah, it really, again, Abby spent so much time on that, and just, it was an honor to be a part of something that was researched so thoroughly.
No kidding.
There were,
I never told my life story to anybody before.
It was, it means so much. It means more than I could ever explain that Abby wanted to write that about our show.
Yeah.
And
we are forever grateful.
That's right, and we'll continue to try and deliver a product befitting of that article.
And he seems to be such a sincere individual.
He is.
Oh, if he just comes off like that, because I actually tweeted back and told him it was a great read, and unfortunately I was already addicted to the show, so it didn't help much on that aspect.
It's okay. It probably validated you a bit.
But that if I was a millionaire, I would do my best. And he tweeted back to me. He says, hey, Andrew, thanks for the feedback, and I had your voice in mind as I worked on it.
That's pretty
cool.
I
mean, that is so cool. I mean, then we come back to Twitter and everything that is in the news and on the Fords and in Toronto and stuff like that. Twitter can be so constructive at times. At the same time, this media world that we live in right now is gone to frickin' jungle. I mean, it's ridiculous out there. I mean, if you can sell anything for 5 minutes, you know that 5 minutes is your 15 minutes of fame. And it's gotten to the point that now people are saying, well, now that the fact that Mr. Ford has not actually tried to sue anybody is actually an admission of guilt, saying, well, I don't have a strong enough case to back things up. It's just crazy. And, I mean, where do we go from now? We've got the Charbonneau Commission. I mean, Montreal is, we're leading these guys. Toronto can't get anything right. They can't win the seventh game.
Wow.
Tie this into the Blue Jays before we cut you off. Please, I want to end this on the Jays.
They're not going to win the World Series either. And if you want to, Toronto is supposed to be the new Hollywood. At least Hollywood had the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I mean, in Toronto, they only get the drugs. They don't even have the sex and the rock and roll.
Oh, no, they got the rock and roll, too. The Stones are there on Saturday.
Are you going to the show?
I am going to the show.
Oh, cool, dude.
I am going to the show.
Have a great time. You deserve it, my friend.
Well, we'll speak before that, I'm sure. It's on June the 9th.
How did you get a second mortgage?
I I have a videotape.
Okay. Oh, do you?
Somebody's paying me some money to
finally
keep quiet about
we
it.
We found out. Okay, good.
What Thanks. Are those tickets going for, seriously?
I bought the cheapest seats in the joint, and they were in the 150 range.
Wow. I saw them at the Big O, and it wasn't that much, and it was a long time ago. The sound was crappy, but, I mean, seriously, I'd go back any day of the week.
Man, I sat 10th row center
Did
in,
you?
In 98 at the Bell Center. $85 a ticket.
There you go.
$85 a ticket. So the world is changing. I want to. Wow, what a fun show! What an interesting show! I want to thank you all. This was not your typical Kaufman show, but kind of your typical Kaufman show.
Can I do a quick plug?
Sure, Jay.
Okay, it's a little McLean's pub.
Hurry, Joel Plaskett's about to sing.
Okay.
You got like 3 seconds.
Talking about my week last week was a great week because we now have a terrace. At McLean's Pub.
Where the hell did you put it?
Right in front. We've got permission from the city, taking up 2 parking spaces on the sidewalk. Come out, enjoy the sun at McLean's Pub. It's a first in 20 years.
Hey, McLean's Pub, come sponsor the Kaufman Show.
Better after that.
Thanks to Dave Zirin. Thanks to Torben Rolfson, Max Harris, Jay Farrar at the Farrar side, John Kakalakis, Jimmy G on the board. I'm Dave Kaufman at the Kaufman Show. See you next week. If your house burns down, there's a reason that I love this town. I saw your band in the early days. We all understand why you moved away. We'll hold a breath. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you understand why we moved away. You hold a grudge. Davy and me, face down in our suit, some French restaurant, I saw Riviere du Loup. Last night at a tour, we burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. That's another Kaufman Show in the books. For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman, and we'll see you next Monday night on TSN 690.
I don't know. What'd that sound like?